would, of course, also increase because, as I explained before, due to the dry season, there will be more and more energy produced in Chile by diesel-powered plants, and that will make energy, you know, again more and more dependent on the on the oil price, and therefore then also more expensive.
Okay.
I mean, you know, at present situation as it is, we could see a repayment of our investment in the power generators, which we bought in a period of 7 or 8 months.
That's very helpful. Okay. Thanks for that. Royalties. On the fourth quarter, and maybe I was miscalculating here, but they seem exceedingly high given your revenue level. And, I was trying to work through your formula calculations here, and, you know, I was really having a tough time seeing how the royalties could have come up to, you know, I guess what it was, $5.8 million for the fourth quarter approximately.
Yeah, there again, you have to know the accounting rules and the actual things that are happening.
Uh-huh.
We are paying royalty on the basis of prices which were actually of copper prices and molybdenum prices which were actually in effect in the months we are producing our production.
Okay.
But, as Stephen explained, at the end of the quarter, the copper price went from $3.60 down to $3.
Right.
So we had to book our revenue and our earnings then on the basis of more or less $3.
Okay.
Now, we will not sell our production at $3.
Right.
Because in January the price was, again, significantly higher, and in February even more. So, you know, we'll get it back. But from
so somehow there seems like a mismatch here, where the royalties were getting, you're saying, paid at a higher price, and the revenue was being booked at a lower price.
Yeah, right, according to accounting principles.
Well, there's two things. One is that the other is, of course, at the moment, the LME, our copper price pricing is M plus 3. There are times when it is M minus 1 or M minus 2, which, you know, there could be an advantage in the way it works. The contract with Teniente has been there since 1991.
So the royalties are at a minus?
The royalties are based on the price of the month in which we receive the tailings and produce the copper.
Which is logical, right?
Right.
The illogical bit, and that's where the smelters and refineries chop and change, is the pricing changes from sometimes it's M plus 1, M plus 3, sometimes it's M minus 1, M minus 2, depending on where the market is.
Right.
And it's the same for everybody. It's not just us.
So it is sort of where the royalties sort of got to be paid at a sooner, or price sort of earlier than what you receive from the smelters. So.
No. It doesn't have to be paid earlier.
Right.
The payment is 3 months later.
Okay.
But
it has to be accrued.
Established.
Oh, okay.
Is the month of the production.
It can work the other way too, David. We have a situation where in a rising copper market we do better.
Right. I got that. Okay. That's very helpful. Thanks. You know, as far as the strategy going forward, you know, we're taking a look at the copper prices, where they are, and, you know, obviously you're going to have some, assuming all goes well here, you should have some pretty sizable cash flow, assuming copper prices stay anywhere remotely close to current levels. You know, why not go ahead and at least purchase some put options or do something to lock in this very favorable copper market, and even the forward market's very favorable. I understand that your investors sort of want exposure to upside commodity prices, why not just buy put options then, or at the very least, you know, to lock in some of this?
Sure. We'll certainly have a look at that. They're not cheap for
right.
anything that's near the current level, because that's the way the market makes it, of course. There's no free lunches here.
Right.
But it's certainly something we will continue to look at, and I agree with you. By structuring it as a put option, it doesn't take away from the majority of those investors who are our shareholders who want to participate. I was at the BMO conference in Florida earlier this week, and there are some very, very bullish calls out there for copper. And we certainly wouldn't want to be capping right now. If any of those analysts are right, we certainly wouldn't want to be capping the upside. But maybe we'll look at the put option scenario if we can do so on a economic basis.
You know, when you take a look at the power problems, and maybe even more specifically labor problems, at least for miners, is Chile really suffering the worst as far as the power goes, or are there some other countries there that are really hurting right now? And I'm thinking of this in terms of, you know, that bullish copper scenario that, you know, maybe a lot of greenfield projects may be put off here.
Certainly. And that's why, certainly in Chile down here, the sentiment is that, copper is continuing to rise and may even hit something like $5.
Yeah, there's the scenario in the other place. Peru is probably the exception because of the high growth component of their production in comparison on the supply-demand equation. But very few countries are escaping this energy crisis, whether it be Zambia and the Congo with all the issues and brownouts that are happening there, notwithstanding the fact there's a significant hydro component in that area of the world as well, through to China, and they're not so much on the production side, but their impact will be more direct because of the brownouts to the smelters and refineries, which means there's less metal coming to the market than there's concentrate being stockpiled. Through to Chile and other parts of South America where a big chunk of the copper production is, you know, there's something like close, I think it's 20%+ of the world's copper production comes from, is produced within that northern grid of Chile's energy base.
Right.
And South Africa is the other one. You know, less so on the copper front, but you know, South Africa is having major power brownouts and power shortages in the gold sector, for example. So this energy question really, David, is, and yes, I think that's what you're alluding to, is very interesting, and I think it's where market followers have totally underestimated the supply constraints that we're facing in copper production to meet a demand, albeit that demand might be softer in North America. Demand is not stopping in China and India, but supply is constrained. And I think that the outlook is very much what Klaus is alluding to and what some of the market commentators are alluding to in the conference that I attended earlier this week.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. Our next question is from Mr. Michael Scholten. Please go ahead, Mr. Scholten.
Afternoon, guys. Most of my questions have been answered. I guess the only follow-up I have is, I look at your realized copper price for the quarter of $2.28, and I understand what you're saying about both the current quarter's productions and then, I guess, the production that had been unsettled from previous quarters flowing through and bringing that number down. Is that everything, though? Because it just seems, if I look at across all of 2007, the LME price for copper was well above $3 a pound for the entire year, and I'm just wondering if there's some other component that's bringing that down all the way to 228.
It's not 228.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael, it's 272.
272 is the annual.
And don't forget, this includes, in the realized price, you have deducted already the smelter and refining charges. So you cannot look at the LME quotation, but you have to look at the LME quotation minus smelting and refining costs.
Okay.
And also, Michael, and I apologize for its complexity, and it's very difficult to explain it over a conference call, but so there's the net smelting, as Klaus was referring to, plus there's a double whammy effect, and that's what most analysts are missing. There's a whammy, double whammy effect being two components. One, the reversal of settlement adjustments from Q3 production that were priced in Q3 on a provisional basis, and then adjusted downwards in Q4. And then there is Q4 production that is adjusted down to the closing price at the end of the year, not the average, because none of that Q4 production was delivered until Q108.
Okay. Right. I see. And so then the mismatch with the royalty, when I see the royalty actually the highest per pound all year, despite the fact that you're recording the lowest realized copper price for the entire year, how is the cash kind of reconciled there ultimately?
We can't get it to match, Michael, because one's contractual that's been there since 1981. The other is an annual renegotiation with the smelters, and we really piggyback off the big guys, and it is what it is. But it will never be the same. In periods of lower production, Teniente will be an advantage because, and if it's an M+2 or 3 type pricing scenario on the copper, in periods of lower pricing, trending down pricing, they'll be up. In periods of rising prices, like now, will be up. It evens out.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then, just in terms of that royalty, can you use the fact that you haven't negotiated, the 45,000 tons per day that you're contractually allowed to pull from Kilauea's, and they're limiting you to 10 to 15,000 tons per day. I mean, can you incorporate that into your royalty negotiation and say, well, you're not allowing us, you're not delivering on this one part of our agreement. Why don't you give us a break on the royalty?
Can you come down and help us?
Michael,
the
agreement.
You're dealing with a mega corporation, and you're dealing with small amounts of money, and they're not worried about small adjustments. They're worried about the big picture and primarily environment.
But Stephen, well, there's more to it. I mean,
if they don't care, then they should, they should grant the concession too.
But Michael, the agreement with El Teniente is not that we have the right for 45,000 tons. The agreement with El Teniente is we have the right for 45,000 tons based on El Teniente agreeing to all the technical aspects of how we are going to extract and produce the copper from these old tailings. So they have contractually the right to check our production program, the location of our production facilities, all the environmental requirements, all the structural requirements which we have to do. So, and they are doing that.
No, and not just at the commencement, on an ongoing basis. And that's always the way it's been. So, and I think that's not been well understood by some of the people who have followed us. For a company like Teniente and Codelco, that's how it must be. And we don't see any problem in achieving and meeting those technical requirements, but they being very cautious, and so they should, to make sure that not only their own operations are of first-class standard in terms of environmental and technical performance, but also those that fall under their wing, like ours.
Okay. And then, you know, just lastly, a suggestion on the communication of your earnings. If you could... you know, the information you gave in the annual was very complete, but yesterday morning you released a press release, and it basically just focused on the full year results. It would be nice for us that are following your company to actually have a quarterly EBITDA reconciliation, and it seems you have all the information for the quarter anyway, but it's really useful, you know, when you release these results that we can see how you're doing in the quarter.
Sure.
Rather than digging through into the annual when it comes out later in the day.
Yeah, okay, I understand that. It's not industry convention to do that, but we can't put it into the formal financial statements, but what we'll try to do is put it into some table or backup information attached to the formal financial information.
Thanks. That would be really helpful. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Wayne Atwell. Please go ahead, Mr. Atwell.
Yeah, thank you. And we've sort of beat this to death a little bit, but could you give us some precise numbers on provisional pricing? How many tons in the fourth quarter were under provisional price in the price and the actual dollar impact? And then how many tons or pounds in the end of the fourth quarter for first quarter and the price assumption?
Wayne, I'd love to answer the question, but the reality is it's not that easy to do that over the phone. It is a complex calculation. And honestly, it's not helpful to try and do it, because in our own experience, when we've tried to give more information tends to confuse, not clarify. Happy to talk to you offline about how the specific calculation works, and Aurora would be happy to do that. But it's not an easy thing to do over the phone.
Okay. Well, I've seen Freeport and Phelps Dodge do it.
Steven,
they've generally done it.
Stephen, can I just add? I mean, the first question Wayne had is very simple. All the production of the fourth quarter are under provisional payment. The whole production, 100%.
Oh, okay. And the price assumption is around $3?
Yeah, as Stephen said before, it's the last day of the year. And Aurora, I think the last day of the year was $3.05 or something.
Yeah.
$3.05.
And then you got to be careful that it's not the spot price; it's the average of the 3 month forward price, N plus three.
Okay. And how about the capital spending for 08 and 09? Do you have numbers?
Well, the main capital project in 08. Will be the remaining cost for the generators. As Stephen said, we have spent about almost $6 million in 2007 for the generators, and the total cost will be something around $11 million. So we'll spend a little bit more than $5 million in 2008 for the generator project, and then the other main project which we have is approximately $6 million for the expansion of the monitoring equipment to be able to increase our production from the old tailings, and then we have two or three other smaller investments which will increase our efficiency in recovering copper from the tailings. That will make up another about $2 million and then some smaller equipment. So we are expecting to spend something like $14 million in 2008.
Okay. And do you have a production estimate for 08 and 09?
No, it will depend on the on the growth picture and the development of the old tailings production scenario.
We'd like to give you a more precise answer, but in the past when we've done that, we've been caught up because our understanding of the timing of the various stages of approval on a technical front from our partners hasn't always met what our expectations were, and therefore we've been embarrassed. So we're going to report when we know.
Okay, and if we could look at it a little bit further, what are the chances you might be able to work out a similar the commercial agreement with Chuqui or Escondida or some of the other large old copper mines in the Chilean copper-producing regions?
Yeah, there are chances of working that out. We know one of the big producers, they want to do that themselves. You mentioned Chuqui. We did have discussions with them. My personal opinion is that because in Chuqui it would be mainly production from old tailings because the grade of Chuqui has gone down so significantly that the tailings grade is at a level which would make it very difficult to be economic. So therefore you are basically only talking about the old tailings at Chuqui, and my personal opinion is that as long as we are not in full production from the old tailings in Rancagua, we won't be able to come to an agreement with Chuqui on that. I think once they see how successful our operation is in connection with El Teniente, I think the interest would grow significantly at that point.
How about a Bingham Canyon or a Tyrone or Bisbee? How about some of the other properties in other parts of the world?
A Bingham Canyon tailings again are much lower in grade than what we have in our operation. So it.
I think the answer is it depends so much on not just the fresh tailing grade, and therefore in turn the head grade of any particular deposit. It also depends on the other attributes. Gravity is a huge component of what makes Teniente work because this stuff is delivered to us by gravity. Even our plant, both the what we call our cascades as well as our main flotation plant, is largely benefited by gravity that we're on a side of a mountain. So pumping is much less than you see in any other area, say in Arizona or elsewhere where the terrain's a little flatter. And then, of course, as Tas is alluding to, depends on the metallurgy and grade and other circumstances around the old tailings. And finally, you got to rule out anything small. It's got to be large because economy of scale is the key. You know, our plant has got capacity to treat anywhere between 140 and 180,000 ton a day of material. There aren't very many plants in the world that come close to that.
Right. And then lastly, and I'm not sure whether you can answer this or not, but would you like to develop Candente yourself? Would you like to take an active role in the management of developing this, or is this a case where you're trying to elevate the value of this for sale to a third party, or what kind of role do you hope to play in this investment?
I think we have, we've got two hats, right? We've got both Amerigo's hat and then our hats as Candente directive. And I think they are consistent, by the way, but at least from Amerigo's perspective, our job is to generate the best returns for Amerigo shareholders. And to the extent that we have several options to add value to our, at least our existing investment, and we may consider increasing that investment in various ways. The three obvious options are to get more involved directly and support the development of that property, to become more involved but not so involved by looking at with management of Candente the options for joint venturing that property, and then thirdly, obviously, if someone from China or one of the major companies identifies the value that we see there, and they want to pay for it, then that's a pretty interesting scenario and a value add for Amerigo as well. So there are three options. We haven't closed ourselves off to at least three options, I should say, and we haven't closed ourselves off to any of them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mr. Alan Arnold. Please go ahead, Mr. Arnold.
Thank you. First of all, as an individual investor, I'm appreciating the difficulty that the analysts are having with the numbers, even though they've spent a lot of time looking at this and others. I brought out the statement last time that you had some forward-looking statements on your web page, which talked about production, and you quickly made a change. And you just had a question about predicting production, and your last sentence says annualized production is projected to increase to approximately 60 million pounds of copper and 1 million moly during fiscal 2008. I take that to be somewhat of a projection, and I wonder how you decided on that sentence. Am I wrong?
Well, I think it's, we'll have to check it again, but I think it said that was our objective or our goal. So I guess what we are also saying to you is that it's not in our hands to give precise projections to that because we are so dependent upon our partner in achieving those things. And whilst we have a great relationship with our partner and we work well with them, it's that when we have given estimates, it's ended up disappointing.
I understand that, and I appreciate that.
So I guess what we're going to have to do is get our website caught up with what we're saying on this call.
I'm not trying to be make the correction. I'm just saying it tempts someone who is not as familiar with your company as these analysts are to simply do arithmetic and divide 60 by 4 and try to project what a quarterly production would be, and if you continue to fall short, it may have a negative impact of someone's idea of what your forward value is. I think overall you give a very bullish projection on your company. That's my own personal, and I am a stockholder, so I appreciate that, but you've also tempered it with all kinds of concerns about production because of your relationship and then the weather and everything else. So you are making forward-looking statements, given with all the disclosure. I appreciate that. One of which was made, I believe I heard, that you thought that you would amortize the total cost of the generators in 7 or 8 months. I look at that and say, wow, that's $11 million cash flow in the 7 or 8 months, and you annualize that, that's a substantial amount of cash flow. The statement was made. If it's real, I think that would be very interesting. It would be something to try to watch because everyone is seeing. I'm trying to get a handle on what the savings is going to be in power if you simply took the fourth quarter and then put the new grid of the full use which is supposed to be able to handle 80% of your power costs. That would be that number, I guess, of the seven, you know, the ability to amortize over 7 or 8 months. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you just take a simple figure and assume that the power costs stay as they were in the fourth quarter of 2007, and you then compare that with what we expect our power costs to be when we produce from these generators, and the difference is at least 10 cents. And we are using something like 15 million kilowatt hours per month, and so you are saving a minimum of 1.5 million per month, and that brings you to, in 7 months, to $10.5 million.
That's exactly what I mean, simple math, yes.
We think that we might save more.
It was an excellent strategic move that was made, and I applaud you for that. I have a question in relation to that, which is corollary to that. Should we be concerned about this power shortage in Chile as to the operation of El Teniente?
If there are major power shortages, it will certainly affect the industry in Chile, in central and southern Chile. There have been consultants who have been predicting that there may be a chance of blackouts for about 5% of the time in the months of April, May. If that really happens, so you know, you could see that an effect on production.
Okay. So it is one of the variables you're dealing with, I understand.
Yeah,
so the production side is probably your crystal ball for production seems to be the cloudiest. You seem to have a pretty good feel for the cost in the future that you might get for the product, assuming you can produce it. And I find that a very interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Now, finally, with your stated bullish view on the potential of the copper market with all the vagaries that we expect, when do you announce, if you do, because you have announced that you have started a repurchase program, when do you announce if you have made repurchases? Is that quarterly or only annually, or do you obviously you can figure it out on the float, but when are announcements made if you are making purchases?
Under the law, within 10 days of the purchase.
In 10 days of the purchase, you have to report it.
Yeah.
Not on necessarily a news release. I don't want to go digging for some filing somewhere. Is it?
It's on what they call a SEDI filing, S-E-D-I.
Okay. I appreciate that. Given your feelings, I guess that could be one way you might think about using your cash. But overall, I thought it was an extremely interesting presentation, and I'm glad I'm still a stockholder. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Just a clarification so that there's no confusion. When you say we're using our cash, yes, we have 16 million of cash, but we're spending a big chunk of that right now on getting these generators up and running.
Yes, I understand. I'm just saying.
We're not entirely flush right now, just so that everyone understands.
I understand that, but you made some interesting acquisitions of both the Condende and the generators. I'm just saying, if cash starts coming in, it's a possible way, assuming your scenario of the future.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Mr. Stephen Autridge. Please go ahead, Mr. Autridge.
Hello, everybody. I think my question is vaguely asked by the last person. It was going to be, what is going to be your cost for generating power through these two generators?
It will depend on the oil price.
On the oil price. If the oil price is $100 as it is now, what estimate are you using?
I guess our estimate would be around 13, 14 cents.
Okay. The other question I have is, did you lose any production because of power outages in 2007?
In 2007, no.
No. Okay. So,
We did lose a minor amount in 2008 when some people cut the overland grid line in order to recover the copper.
Oh boy, they're doing that down there. Okay. That was really my prime question was how much is your obviously energy cost going to come down? It's going to be really quite significant.
Very significant.
Prices behave.
Yeah. Very significant.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mr. David Shapiro. Please go ahead, Mr. Shapiro.
Hi, guys. I hate to do this to you again. I just want to follow up on the power again. I did go back to the second quarter statement, and it does, in fact, say 19.6 cents as the power cost in that statement, but it also includes this line, marginal cost. Can you explain what that means? And given the fact that that is what you disclosed in the second quarter financials, I once again, don't see how, it could possibly be, 25 cent per kilowatt hour power cost in the fourth quarter, given your full year power cost of 17 cents plus.
Well, just to explain, Aurora, you should have the figures there.
Yeah, do you want the kilowatt hour on Q4?
Right. Well, for starters, the kilowatt hours on Q2, which is sort of what you guys said may make the it may make it incorrect. It was 19.6, I saw, and
that's right.
Well, just running through the quarter, if you're at 10.4 for the first quarter, 19.6 for the second quarter, and 21 cents for the third quarter.
17 cents on Q4.
I'm sorry?
17 cents in Q4.
19 cents?
17. 17.
17. Okay. I'm still having trouble getting that. I'm still having trouble seeing how that goes down to 17 cents for the year. But
David, it's an average. Like it's 10, 19, 20, 17. Average
right.
Is 17.
Okay.
These are numbers, I promise you. I don't think we've made a mathematical mistake.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then on the kilowatt hour consumption, I think you just guided at 15 kilowatt hours per month. Is that not tracking slightly higher at this point in time, or is it not closer to 50, or it's really closer to 45 at this point?
Oh, 15.
Right.
15 million kilowatt hours.
Right, but on a quarter basis, it appears, is it not tracking closer to 50 on a quarter for the quarter? Or is it
you
saying it's still at 45?
It can be 16, changing from 17 to 13 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
I was just using sort of...
It bounces around. In Q3 was 37, Q4 was 47 kilowatt-hours, million kilowatt-hours.
Okay, that's very helpful. And I assume it will just go up linear.
Just to give you some insight as to why it bounces around a little bit is that we tend to manage it as best as we can. Q3 was lower because power was so high. So what we do is we take one or two ball mills out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we suffer a little bit with the recovery, but we do this marginal unit cost calculation, which we try to manage depending on what the oil feed is, how much we get from the oil tailings, how much we get from the fresh tailings, how much coarse material versus fine material. We've got 8 ball mills that can flick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 mills in and out of service as we optimize costs. And You know, I'd love to explain to you more, but it's what we do as management, and hopefully what we're saying to you is that we are doing our best job at managing this, and that's what you hold us pay our executives for.
Right, and as the production hopefully ramps up, we should see a linear relationship with the power consumption ramping up?
Consumption, yes.
Well, okay.
Well, depending on what our source material is, how much cost versus fine, et cetera, but yes.
Right.
Definitely yes.
And then the fourth quarter 2006 power cost, if we can have that as well.
Dollar cost?
Per kilowatt hour, I'm sorry.
Run it up to 5 cents per kilowatt hour.
5 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Our next question will be from Mr. George Moravec. Please go ahead, Mr. Moravec.
Good day, gentlemen. Most of my questions have been answered, but if I can make a suggestion, since the energy is such a big component of your production costs, wouldn't it be easier to break it out? Like for the fourth quarter, you have total production costs of $1.63. How much of that per pound would the energy component be? That would help a lot of.
Okay, well, we're never going to try and do that. I think the question was asked before, and we're going to try in our future full year financial release, we're going to endeavor to include more information that we have on Q4, which will probably give you most of what you need.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. There are no questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, operator. I want to say on behalf of the board and management of the company how much we appreciate everyone who takes the time to dial into this number. We very much appreciate the questions and the level of knowledge that is inherent in the questions. We appreciate your support, not just in that sense, but also hopefully in the sense of being shareholders and benefiting from our efforts here in the company and the capital upside and the dividend flow that we hope to maintain. And also it's worth reviewing again that it's very interesting to see so many market commentators now seeing copper, at least in the short to medium term, higher than it's been. And Wall Street's been calling copper the wrong way and commodities generally now for such a long time. It seems that higher copper prices are more likely than lower. And I think the other thing that I am beginning to take a view of is that eventually the world is going to translate that higher commodity price into a recognition that instead of a discount that financial markets apply to PE ratios of companies in basic materials as they have done for so long, as the real scenario plays itself out in terms of the shortage of commodities, the importance of raw materials, the significance of inflation in key parts of the world economy as they loom ahead in the next year or two, that we'll find that equities will no longer, in my view, trade at a discount to the PE of other industry, but in fact, during the next 2 or 3 years, I wouldn't be surprised to see commodity companies trading at a premium PE because of the important role that they play, not just in the production and supply side of raw materials to the world, but also because of this factor of inflation and how commodities are the really only solid protection to the growing risk of inflation internationally. Once again, on behalf of the board, thank you for listening in, and thank you for your questions. We look forward to talking in about a quarter's time.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation. Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.